team in America.
Blog Talk Radio.
Play it.
The economy's doing better and all this and that.
Oh, yeah.
But
what we should really be looking at and studying is the math that these people use to figure this stuff out. If the math don't work, they change the math to get a good answer. I call that progressive math. It's made up. We looking, trying to figure out, we're new to this, trying to figure out this chat room and how to get a caller in and not.
I will.
Yeah, we will. I like playing that little song at the beginning there because it's kind of how where we're at started for many of us. It takes one willing to do what's right, one willing to go all out. Protect those that need protect. And I see a country right now that needs woke up or needs protecting in some ways because there is so much going on right open in your faces, and yet so many are still out of the loop. They just don't pay attention. They don't get it. They don't see the threat to their families and their lives. I like to think that we figured that out here. That there is a threat to our lives.
Big threat to our lives.
I agree. And the Navy, I was reading on that, yes, the Navy boys do know. That's so sad that it happened. I'm personally one of the Navy boys.
It's, you know, every time we look around here, it's something. Prices is jacking up. And, you know, I was reading where milk's looking to be up to around $10 a gallon, they say, in a short period of time. Can you imagine that? Milk being almost three times the cost of gas.
I think gas get that high, too.
Well, it's all going to get high on us, guys, I'm afraid. But, you know, we get a media that goes out there and tries to talk over their heads.
Yeah.
Most common people, I mean, it bugs me when someone will use 10,000 words to say something they could have said in 10. And been more to the point and more people would have understood.
They just go around the whole truth.
That's what they do. They dance around the truth.
They dance around the truth. They don't answer the question what's been asked. They just dance around it.
And I'm sorry, but I got to ask that in the last day and a half, with all the
Well, we can't forget the devastation with all the water, the floodings that's going on in people's lives.
Hello?
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 Bill Strong.
Robert Cat.
How you doing?
We're doing great. We're having great weather here. Nice, cool
Are you
day.
Really?
Are
how cold is it up there?
About
Hello?
73
wow.
degrees.
That's great. It's still hot as hell here.
It got 44 the other night. It was 44 degrees the other morning.
Wow. I wish I was up there because it's still hot.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Bill Strong, you're right about what you were saying about the math. It's called fuzzy math.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
It's assumed math. It's math that's designed to make an ass out of you and me.
Oh, well, I've been feeling like that for a long time, and that's why I haven't been on the show, Bill Strong. It's just, It takes me 2 weeks to digest what I hear now. And it has been, I've been like researching and researching. And you know what Ron said last night with that Summers guy, the pieces of the puzzle are finally filling up, and it's a nice big picture now, right?
Well, yeah, Robert, it's all about hiding the truth. All we ever know is we got to increase the debt ceiling. Have you ever once seen Congress fighting over decreasing the debt ceiling?
Make them numbers go backwards.
Oh, don't I know? I mean, there's not going to be a solution to Syria and all this. And then what happened yesterday was I had the worst headache all day yesterday from what happened in Washington. It was just that's what this world is coming to. A guy's going to snap because he's going to snap. People are snapping.
Yeah, but they never tell you the truth on what's back in there snapping. Why are they snapping?
No, he had it bad. Yeah. But you know what I don't understand, Bill? After he got discharged, how do they allow them to work as a contractor? I mean, with this past history, why do they allow him to work as a contractor? They knew his past history, right? I'm sure they did.
Well, the problem there is he moved from one state to another state, and the states didn't cross-check, or he probably wouldn't have been able to have got the gun to begin with. But then again, he used a shotgun, and there's a lot of places where you can just buy a shotgun. I mean,
you don't really need license for.
Right, and you can make a shotgun and nothing flat. There was no AR-15 used.
Yeah, he used a shotgun.
And a pistol.
And he shot the security guard off the bat.
You got to wait 10 hours after the media reports something, then you'll hear the truth.
Huh. I mean...
The first comment I heard was that he was a white guy. And that's
It was an AR-15 shotgun, as our friend Constitution Hour said, and that's what it was, a shotgun.
Well, they still don't get it. They're going to punish everybody who owns a gun who didn't do nothing because this one guy did. Well, do we do that with people with knives? How many stabbings are there a year?
Tons.
They don't want to do a comparative thing on what people use to kill people because you'd be amazed. You would be amazed. It's a sad thing that people resort to taking another's life for whatever misgivings in their lives. It never justifies the means, the end. And it just wastes two lives then or more. Today, what was it, 12 people were killed? That's 13 lives wasted. And some others still deeply affected. Now, there was many problems there, but you notice how quickly some of these Democrats run out here and jump on the anti-gun wagon and stuff like this and that. They're very good at jumping on anti-things. Feinstein's right there leading the charge on it. Feinstein, who can't herself, carries a gun herself. She's a hypocrite. It's just the same as Pelosi coming out and griping about minimum wage when she doesn't pay minimum wage in her factory in American Samoa. She's the only member of Congress who owns a factory who doesn't pay minimum wage.
Is she getting minimum wage?
Yeah, is she getting minimum wage?
I guarantee
you. My God.
Not. I guess she's got more than I do.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's got a lot more money than.
I make $11 and the government tells me I don't make enough to support four people in my family.
And they never cut off on.
Kind of an American success story. Where else could you be so stupid and end up so wealthy?
In our government.
The government, exactly.
Well, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do anymore, Bill Strong.
We draw together. Unite as a country. It's happened before, it can happen again.
Amen.
Talk to Charlie Daniels, he'll tell you. I'm telling you guys, that's what it is. It's standing together. It's uniting and standing together. We've had a president and an administration on both sides of the fence for many years now that have played the American people against each other. It's time the American people pull together and play these buttholes right on out of the country.
Yep. I like that.
Insider investing.
Well, you know what,
they're
waking up here in Florida. They're finally waking up. I mean, even the young kids are waking up. The people in school are waking up. They're seeing what's going on. They're not happy with the guy.
These medicals get broken. Have you ever seen any of it? Now, everything goes up for them. And it's just like I said before. Once you become a representative or once you become a congressman, you got to made in the shade. I mean, come on. All you got to do is be a congressman for a year and you're set for like $400,000, $600,000 a year and you get a raise every year. Do I get a raise? I'm on disability. I get a raise maybe every 6 years.
Thing is,
what?
We allow these politicians to set themselves up to play the insider investing game, the insider trading game, to make rules that affect us, but they don't want to be affected of it. An example, the health care bill.
That's a joke in and of itself. I was telling Ron last night, Bill, that I don't know what to do in October. I don't know if they're going to drop my insurance.
Our friend Linda just posted, in California, they raised it to 10 per hour. We don't even make $9 an hour minimum wage here.
No. People, I don't get people. We have more per family unit than any other country on the planet. TVs, stereos, games. We're putting too much value in those kinds of things and less value in the things that make a family. That draw keep a family close and tight. That teaches a kid. I mean, you gripe about obesity. Throw those damn games away. Put them outside playing. Get out there and play catch. Learn something from Dewey Cox.
Use your imagination.
That's it. Be a family. I'm proud to say I come from a family here. I'm from the hills. We come out of a family here. We get together many times a year. Not just that one.
No.
Just many times a year. When me and my cousins, when we greet each other, it's with hugs. Love you, cuz.
It ain't male and female. It doesn't matter. And you know what? We get together four times a year. And one, I bet half the family in the world doesn't do is a Halloween. We do a haunted house once a year. We get together in October. We see each other every weekend. Every weekend. It's great.
We're so
people
greedy,
don't
we
do
it for free. We're so greedy, we do it for free. But that's the thing. Too many people, everybody wants something for, you know, sometimes it doesn't hurt to give a little bit to help a neighbor or a friend. And that don't mean just money. That means of yourself and your time. You got to stand up. You got to pull together. America was a family. It was a giant family. And we all pulled together during certain times in this country. But we've been pulled apart in many different directions, split up, divided, broke up, all to suit a political purpose to keep us at each other so we don't have time to focus together against what's the real and who is causing the real problem in our nation. But I think that time's coming. I think we just about saw it with this whole Syria incident because you saw such an outpouring of people against it. From both sides of the aisle, from down the middle, from the outer edges.
Everywhere.
You saw people pulling together that normally wouldn't pull together to support of no intervention in Syria. And Obama can't have that. He has to have us divided. The political system needs us divided so they can play us. As I said, you don't see no politician getting a cut in pay. You don't see no politicians' wealth going down. In the times of trouble, when our people are losing, the household income is dropping. Those elected officials. their household income is dropping.
I don't know. But we've got that Obamacare what came through, too. I was hit by that this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went through me. My bills, it's hard to pay my bills. But I make it, and me and my family survive. But any more bills, that just hurts us. And
we have a better system in Indiana than what the federal government is offering.
I don't need that Obamacare.
You know, 30 years ago, you could call a guy to come in and fix your TV. You could do anything. It wouldn't cost you very much money to do. Now, in a household, you have to learn that stuff yourself. You have to learn basic plumbing, basic anything. You can't afford nothing else. I mean, think about it. If I had to have a TV repairman come in now, it cost me $200-$300, not counting labor. Okay? Then where am I going to get that money from? I have to rob this to pay Paul or something like that. Anymore, you have to be self-efficient. And that is the biggest thing I've taught my boys. Be self-efficient. I can do basic electric, plumbing, the nine yards. I'm not great at it, but I know the basics. I can't afford to call somebody for something. I'm going to have to do it myself.
Yep.
And that is wrong. How do you think these people live? I mean, we have to pay them for a living. It's just like I used to work in a restaurant, and they used to say this.
But, brother, you're talking about how things were.
Exactly. They ain't now.
When I was a child, you didn't call people anyway. You did it yourself. Men were jacked
exactly.
All crazy. But your family unit was a whole lot different.
Your family knew a lot.
Family was the important thing. Well, that's how I beat my country.
I agree,
it's
Linda.
It's a giant family, and it's an important thing.
Well, see, the biggest thing that's why I was trying to get at is that nowadays you have to do it on your own. There's no other ways about it. But, you know, when I worked in restaurants, the rule was, and it was a very simple rule, the people that come around to eat food and stuff, they paid your paycheck. That's how people live. That's how we got people, like you said, 30, 40 years ago when these guys come in and fix your stuff, that was their living. They knew how to treat people, they respected people, and they didn't have a problem. They didn't charge an arm and leg. You can't do this now. You can't do nothing without doing it on your own anymore.
Well, I can remember seeing neighbors gather with huge baskets, just bushel baskets, a slew of them, a bushel baskets full of green beans or tomatoes or whatever, and people would come from around the neighborhood, and they would all sit down there together, break them and can them and pack them up and split them and divide them up. Neighbors looking out for neighbors.
Did you guys see an article today where a boy was 11 years old and donated $10.03 to the police department? He said, I know these people need this. That's what we should be doing. Everybody should be pitching in together. But you
can't
get caught here.
Well, to the police department.
I'm talking about, no, this donation was for when 9/11. This wasn't just to give.
Oh, money. Okay.
All right. But come on, think about it for a minute. An 11-year-old boy thinks about stuff like that. Why can't we get people nowadays to think about that 9/11? I mean, there's a lot of people that died that day. A lot of them. You know, that just hits me, Bill. I mean, it does. It makes me wonder.
Well, that's where.
Why anybody else doesn't think about their children that way?
Well,
this child did.
About that.
You know what?
You've got to get the government out of charity. You got to get the government out of charity. Because when the government's in charge, when they're picking and giving money to charities, then they're picking and winning, losing charity. Charity is an individual. It's an individual's right. It's an individual's choice. Davy Crockett argued about this in front of our Congress. It's our choice. And if it went like that, you wouldn't have all these middlemen that suck all the funds out of the charity before it ever gets to the people who need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they take the money and put it in their pocket like most congressmen do.
How much money that was took up that our government sent and everything to Haiti actually went to Haiti to do things in Haiti? Every person in Haiti should have been a millionaire.
All they have is a disease.
And instead, what the hell have they done?
That's why I'm afraid to donate anymore, Bill. I don't donate anymore because of that.
Exactly.
Because I don't know where the money's going. Even
exactly.
To the Red Cross. No. I don't know where it's going.
And if you look, in disasters, the biggest contributor to relief funds and stuff and during disasters are the public. But yet our mistake is we're giving it to
Hello?
I'm reading Ross there. Did the government collected more taxes than any year in history and still running a $750 billion deficit?
It's that math.
Put one there, two there.
We need to bring some of them old boys up there in the Congress and D.C. and the Senate out here where we live and make them survive the way we do, and let's just see if they don't get a different outlook on life.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Because
they're wrong. I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Isn't it our fiduciary responsibility to make sure Congress and the Senate passes a budget plan?
It's supposed to be, but I get boggled with my brain watching our elected officials on C-SPAN when the Senate and the Congress is in and they're actually showing you something. I get boggled in my brain by the ignorance that comes out of the mouths of these so-called highly educated.
Yeah, and they're supposed to go by the Constitution, too.
Oh, they don't even know what it is. And happy Constitution Day to everybody. You know,
well,
you have probably one of the most magnificent pieces of paper ever written, the Constitution. And yet, our highly educated can't read it, or if they do read it, they try to bend it and massage it to go this way or that way, or, well, maybe it meant this, or maybe it meant that. And in my own eyes, it meant what it said, and that's just how it is.
What it is.
That was a day, and I learned this from a teacher, an old teacher I had, Mr. Gerald Furr, who always told me, you have to mean what you say so you can say what you mean. And I take the Constitution that way. It means what it says. It ain't. There's no open interpretations and stuff. It's pretty plain and simple many times in many ways. What are you doing, Cletus?
I don't know. Wait, I'm trying to get around the corner.
Oh.
You know, running wild right now, man.
It's what's going on, you know. And I think it's a lot of it is purpose to keep us occupied in different directions so we're not looking into things and stuff. But when we do start looking, like Ron did on the monetary issues and stuff like that, and like Linda digging into Agenda 21, when we do start doing our own digging and our own looking, what we find out, I don't know about the rest of you, but it just...
There's the bejesus out.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. It's like... How can no one else see this? And so many things are right blatantly right in their face. Right in their face. If you can't tell Obama is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood around the world, then you're blind.
Blind. You got blinders on.
You got blinders on, that's for sure. Because it's right there in your face. If you can't tell our elected are scamming us by some of the things that they have pulled in the last, 70 years, you start looking at it, how many more freedoms have we lost in the last, 70 years compared to what there was before? It seems that freedom has been slowly taken away step by step by step by step, and now we're down to just a few left, and they want to grab them all at one time. There's a thing at the UN on guns.
Oh.
Well, they've already laid it out how they're going to do it. And I got to tell you, there was like 10 steps there, and they've already been in. We're in 4 and 5. They've already done 1, 2, and 3. We're in 4 and 5.
They were talking about taking the shelves off the shelves and stuff like that, and what's happening now. You go to Walmart and look at the shelf, these gun shells on the shelf.
Okay. Our only gun place closed.
Well, heck, all we got to do there is just make your own damn shields. Go get your reloader.
Well, they won't let you get to all have one of them.
God.
I know somebody's got one. Good, ain't got one.
Lord have mercy.
That's the thing about America that our government really misunderstands. We do have a lot of very self-reliant people who can build things out of, you know.
What's that saying? If there's a way, there's a will. I got the will. Okay, so we ran.
That's funny.
You know, that's where we're at, Robert.
That's really funny.
We have been hoodwinked, blindfolded, slapped upside the head, and made to like it.
No, a lot of people are going to be voted out because of this stuff, Bill. It's only a matter of time. But the thing is, you know, you don't even know who to vote for anymore. And, you know, you just can't trust.
You're being voted out, Robert. And you're sitting there, and you know, Mr. Robert, you know, the whole system is rigged up.
Yep. It's all correct.
Oh, sure it is. Number one, Bill, it's all about money and it's all about power, just like Linda says. You know,
yeah.
It's all about money, power, and greed. If you got the money, you can run for Congress. A normal average person like me cannot run for Congress because I do not, quote, have the notoriety to run. People talked me out of it, Bill. I wanted to run. And you know what? If I ran, I would have won the election hands down. because Vern Buchanan is just like the rest of them, and you know he's gonna tell every you know I heard a conference call, and I joined in just for the hell of it to see what he had to say. You know, and he was, you know, he had all these people on, you know, calling in, asking him just, you know, the same questions. Why are we striking? Everybody was totally against the whole thing. Everybody that called in on both sides of the aisle were just totally against going into Syria, period. You know, everybody was against it.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing.
We got another caller in there. Hello, who are you?
Wow, really? Who am I?
Ron, I can't make heads or tails out of this. It's the first time I've ever seen it, and Lonnie's sitting a few feet away from me, and I keep hollering at him, well, what the hell is this?
No worries. You know, what you guys are talking about, and, of course, on Constitution Day of all days, you know, we're mired down in the manure of our time. But if we go back to what I was talking to Linda about in the chat room, 1792, when Congress wanted to place and did place a tax on carriages. So, you know, if you owned a carriage or horse and buggy, if you will, you had to pay a tax on that buggy just for the mere fact that you owned one. And so a big, huge argument ensued, primarily because one fella owned 125 carriages. And
a lot of carriages.
Yeah, but they were for his personal use. They weren't for hire. He wasn't, you know, a hackney or a cabbie. So John Taylor of Caroline argued that what Congress was doing in passing this law was violating the actual language of the Constitution. And so it set off this big argument about what is an excise, what is a direct tax versus an excise tax. And that argument has continued to this day. But I found it interesting that John Taylor of Caroline in 1792 predicted the Civil War because of Congress's behavior, and he said this: in America, the danger of allowing a majority of Congress to be unencumbered with constitutional restrictions is manifest. For if public virtue is the best support of a Republican government, and even necessary to withstand the weak efforts of individuals, how awfully does the necessity of adhering to the strictest system of political justice present itself? In order to escape the powerful resentment of sovereign states, if oppressed, states will combine, the grand divisions of Northern and Southern will retaliate as majorities or ministers fluctuate, and a retaliation between nations invariably will end in a catastrophe.
Dang.
He knew the road they were heading down by twisting the language of the Constitution. And what they were arguing, interestingly enough, or at least I find it interesting, what they were arguing was over the language in the Constitution where it says no capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration. That's called apportionment, the apportionment clause, right? And what they were saying is that no capitation, okay? A capitation is what they would call a head tax. Now, we knew we didn't want a head tax. That's why we had the three-fifths clause. Why? Because the southern states were sparsely populated, but they had a lot of slaves. And if we counted each of them and put a capitation tax on them, you were diminishing the representation of those states in Congress and unfairly taxing what they saw as property, their slaves. But what they were arguing is that the rest of it, or other direct tax, they're saying there's only one other direct tax possible, and that's a tax on land. And Taylor of Caroline pointed out quite correctly that is ridiculous. He said if there was only one contemplation or one other possible direct tax envisioned by the framers of the Constitution, and that was a tax on land, they would have said so. But they said, or other direct tax, envisioning that there's a possibility of what Taylor calls a direct excise tax. Which is exactly what the tax on carriages was.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a tax on the property itself or on the ownership of a particular property, in this case a carriage, like paying an ad valorem tax on an automobile today. It's a direct tax. It's absolutely a direct tax. And he foresaw that allowing them to do that was going to lead us into a civil war.
I always considered, Ron, that a tax was the government's way of trying to cover up for some kind of screw-up they made where they couldn't manage what they had.
Well, it really wasn't a matter of them not managing what they had. If you go back and look at who was proffering these, and by the way, that was Alexander Hamilton, okay? They were trying to exercise new powers, and they were doing the exact same thing that they allegedly just fought a revolution to put an end to, and that was to put an end to taxation without representation. That's why the apportionment clause was there to begin with. And, you know, Taylor of Caroline goes on to say that, I mean, hell, if you just want to say that we can't tax in this manner, he said, then there's no limit to what Congress can tax by just simply taxing all the consumables that everyone would use in a year's time, reckoning that would pretty closely match what they earned for the year.
Now you got a point right there, Ron.
So you're going to reach almost 100% of their earnings, no matter which end you attack it from. And he said, you know, the whole point of these clauses in the Constitution was as a restriction on government, and it was to restrict and very narrowly define the taxing authority of the Congress, but it has since been interpreted to touch every source. As Justice Marshall said, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And
wow.
Boy, they've done a hell of a job of that, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
And, then
you know,
their little fine for your company, fines for having this,
you've got right now, you've got record low labor participation in this country in proportion to the employable labor force available to work. You've got a labor participation rate right now in this country equivalent to what it was in 1978. And yet the federal government collected record taxes this year, the vast majority coming from individual income taxes. They're still running a $750 billion deficit, but guess what? That's under the austerity measures, right, under the deal that they penned that nobody wanted to stick to, but they're forced to. But what that does not include, remember I told you guys that it's been how many months now, 128 days, that yep. the national debt has not increased by one penny because they're using what's called extraordinary measures, which means we're just pretending that debt doesn't exist until after we raise the debt ceiling, and then it'll come rushing back in, and you're going to see a $2.5 trillion deficit tacked on next year, not this year, of course.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to the top right-hand corner on that same debt clock and click on 2016 and see that it's already going to be at least $23 trillion by then. That's not counting if they fill in an amnesty of about $6.7 trillion. That's based on $11 million, so it's $30 million. So that's going to be about $16, $17 trillion extra on top of all that. I'm telling you, I think by the time Obama leaves office, the national debt will exceed, on that chart, if they let it go, will exceed $30 trillion. Obama will have tripled. He will have tripled the debt by himself that it took all of his predecessors to create.
Oh, yeah. But I heard it was going to be $26 million by the time he leaves office.
And well,
$30 billion.
You know how that all works.
$26 billion.
Each month it gets higher.
God, don't stop.
Well, hi, guys. You're doing a great job. Robert, Chad, Lonnie, Bill, Ron, it's great to hear you guys hanging out in that studio. You know, and I love the opening song. We're going to get this down pat. You guys will you'll be sailing through it, so. As long as you do more advertising, it's going to be really amazing. You know, what Ron talks about, all this stuff with taxation and the debts and deficits, it's just mind-boggling. I'm going to go through a little bit of it tomorrow on my show and explaining, you know, kind of in-depth the people behind the scenes. When you look at the central bankers and the elite bankers and these evil people who marry corporations to government, which is, you know, our fascism. We have now. Yeah, we have it now. And when you look at their attitudes, these people don't see themselves as patriotic people to one country. They see themselves as global citizens. And they'll do business with any dirtbag, dictator they want to. They don't care. As long as they get what they want, and they don't care how many people they hurt, kill, maim, doesn't matter.
But it's, hey, Obama's
yeah.
for the little guy, didn't you know that?
Yeah, right. Oh, please. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Yeah.
I read
when you look at what you're dealing with, you can't think like these. You and I, we're it's not in our DNA to even think like those people.
I read an interesting little factoid today in delving a little deeper into this whole fiasco with Larry Summers and why he pulled out.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, during the TARP program, or the bailout, I guess, if you will, there was a fund of $300 billion left unspent or distributed to the banks. And Obama, the Congress and Obama was going to use a portion of that money to help bail people out of their underwater mortgages.
Oh, my God.
But Summers intervened.
Really?
Yes, Summers intervened and said, no. We need to reallocate that to the banks. They need more liquidity. And so what ended up, it went from $300 billion to about $9.5 million. is what was given to, you know, folks to help out with underwater mortgages, and the rest went to, well, I guess the banks. And I know I'll get her name wrong, but one of the ladies that was instrumental in getting this whole thing kicked off with Obama getting elected was Pinckney, I think the last name is Pinckney.
Oh yeah, Pinckney. You're right.
She ran a bank up in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. You talked about that.
Okay. And she was pissed because the banking regulators were coming after her because her bank and her family were ripping off poor black folks. And the regulators were getting ready to shut her down. And she made a phone call, and by God, Summers and Rubin cut the legs out from under them. And so she was, you know, appreciative. And next thing you know, Rubin is funding Obama and his rise to fame and glory. Otherwise,
fame and fortune. I agree with Chad. I just think it's a bunch of fame and fortune. He's going to be on the next one to show how much his big house is costing.
So I gather that Valerie's more of the hand out the buttons and bumper stickers person, and these other guys with the money are the ones. Yeah, I get you. Okay. Oh, God. My head will explode.
I'm feeling it too, Linda. Believe me.
Also, that Muslim overlord watching over him.
Hey.
So we got George Soros
in the
mix.
Carbon exchange.
I know.
Along with a bunch of them, yeah.
The corruption goes deep.
That whole thing, and they're going to try to push it again, and the climate crap, because they're getting their butts kicked by the scientific facts.
It's a cycle.
It's a scam. And all we got to do is see who all is invested in the carbon exchanges and who stands to make the billions and trillions of dollars off of it. And that'll tell everybody the truth about it. And they'll know that they had been trying to play us for a scam.
Yeah, it's in our guess. Hey, Linda, how much is got?
About science, he couldn't get a boiled egg into a glass jar.
So, what were you going to ask, Robert?
How high is gas up in California now?
It's tipping a little over $4 a gallon, and that's the lowest.
Yeah.
$3.51 here.
$3.46 here.
Yeah, because we have to pay at least 46 cents a gallon more than everybody else because of California's BS special blend of fuel garbage. I mean, it's just, it's beyond your wildest nightmares. And just
the
other news, there was...
going on in California gives me a nightmare. Going to give illegals the right to be lawyers. Do what?
I think they're
going to give them a license.
I thought they were going to be something to do with the not just court reporters, but something involved in court. Oh, I know what it was. Being on juries and other things. I can't remember. There was a whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, like Tom Hanks?
It's ridiculous. And Idiot Brown just signed a law that that gives, I think it's Planned Parenthood and all the other abortion mills, anybody who's certified, like they don't even have to be a medical physician, that they can do abortions now. Isn't that special?
That's
and
great.
They raised the minimum wage to $10 an hour. This state's gonna sink so fast. You should tomorrow. I have a list. Wait till you hear my list. The gun grabbing laws that are sitting on his desk, waiting for him to either veto or sign. I'm telling you, it's beyond your wildest nightmares. And I'm gonna go in detail with them. I don't know how I'm still alive. That's why I take Xanax and drink wine.
You take that, Alex, Linda.
And Linda,
you really
saw that.
Only once in a while. Only once in a while.
Linda, you saw that UN report. You saw that UN report that said 500 million guns in the United States civilian population. I'm going to tell you that I think that report is about 350 to 400 million off. I agree with you.
Okay.
We outnumber them. But that's why they're
right.
bringing in foreigners to assist them. That's why they've
I know
armed
they
over
are.
70, over 70 government organizations have been armed. Being
yeah, bureaucratic ones. The Lilliputians.
Ridiculous.
I know what they're doing. And the IRS, too. And I mean,
if nobody can figure out, why are you giving all these people guns? Well, then go buy some land from Arizona off the Ron.
Well, look, it's the same story, you know, because people are waking up, Bill, like you say, and people have had it. They're not going to take this stuff anymore. The show that I saw with Glenn today on the Muslim Brotherhood and what Obama just did, I mean, I don't know why I'm flying my beautiful stars and stripes. I should just go get the damn flag with the sickle and hammer and put it out in front of my house because this guy is just so treasonous. I don't understand. I mean, here's articles in the newspaper today talking about ISA going after Ghazi, and I'm like, okay, that's great. Do you see what this guy just did, ISA? Holy Christ, he just waived a federal law that bans him from doing what he wants to do, and that's give weapons and funding and aiding and abetting Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, and he's doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there you have it. That's the whole problem.
I mean, this is what's going on in this country, and nobody's trying the guy and hanging him. I swear, I don't know.
You're absolutely right, Bill. We have been, and not just Obama, for God's sakes. I mean, Reagan did it. You know, what happened with Ali North? Come on. Let's go back to, come on. Our government, and our Congress have been funding our enemies and terrorist organizations for decades.
Yep.
And yet, you know, the irony is, even if we succumb to the conventional wisdom under the tax laws as they stand, you cannot today pay federal income tax without being a felon.
Right. It's insane.
You can't do it. You cannot fund this government without being guilty of a felony.
I believe we should
people pay a lot of taxes.
I believe we should all become robbers and rob banks. I think we should become criminals and start robbing banks.
The best way to rob a bank is to own one.
Absolutely.
Hey,
that's the way out of it.
Just bank and rob it.
Put your money in Rom's bank.
You know, you think about that, you think about that, Robert. How ironic is that? That people break in to steal debt.
Yeah.
Because that's what those strips of paper are. They represent debt.
Ron,
that's all it is.
In the 80s, I was in the service. Here's something that you can have that's just scary. You're right. We have, for so many years, gave. Like the Saudis. When I was in the service, we took 6 PTO boats over to the Canary Islands that the Saudis had bought. On these boats was harpoon launchers, grenade launchers, machine guns, missile launchers, you name it. And I was on a call, the ship's called the AOE, which is a supply ship. If they wanted to shoot me, they could just blow me out of water. We have supplied so much to the Saudis and the Iran and everything. And it's ridiculous. We're basically turn around and supply these people to take us out. I mean, I'm being honest. That's the way I feel. We have basically gave them every possibility to take us out.
We kissed the butt of Mexico. Every enemy we have had, Mexico has aided and allowed them to cross their border into our country. Mexico, we fought how many times? They send their people here to violate our law and complain if we try to enforce our laws.
Oh, they're not violating our law, Bill, because the law is non-existent. They don't enforce the damn thing. A law unenforced is no law at all. And they know that.
Piece of paper.
Aren't they guilty of aiding and abetting or conspiring?
They're guilty of treason. The whole purpose of the executive branch is to carry out and enforce the laws that Congress passes. So the executive branch has been in treason for decades and decades.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course we're going to kiss the Saudis' ring. They're toting our water. If it weren't for the Saudis and OPEC, we wouldn't have enjoyed this overconsumption of our
right.
dollar hegemony around the world. Why do you think it's so dangerous now that we're reaching a point that this thing is going to collapse in on itself? And these
yep,
other countries out there, you think the American people are pissed that we've been getting screwed? Imagine how you would feel if you lived in another country and you'd been getting screwed by this governmental system and this monetary system in the United States for decades, to the point
like
that
Egypt.
You were in abject poverty your whole life.
Yeah.
And
no, you're right.
And that's why we're at the point we're at with our monetary system, Ron. You know that it's about to collapse. You know it's a big bubble. You know, it can't stay forever. It's going to come down. Even the CBO says that something doesn't change. There's a drastic thing coming at us.
You've even got the World Bank and the IMF telling our government, which is rich, by the way, which is just kind of ironic, telling our federal government that, hey, you guys, you better start tapering and you better do this and you better do that because, it's all bets are off, guys. And
I have a question for you, Ron. Whatever happens in Cyprus? What happened in Cyprus? That thing is just, you never hear nothing about Cyprus no more. Why is that?
Because somebody stepped in and bailed them out.
Exactly.
The American taxpayers?
No,
yeah.
The Soviets.
They paid for it to bail out, but we didn't get them out of it, did we?
No, the Soviets bailed them out.
The
Russians bailed them out. You know why? Because there are a lot of Russian nationals that have money over there.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I was curious about that.
And right now you're looking at a situation where Greece is up for another bailout. Italy and Spain are tanking. And I tell you something else, and I talked about it a while back, and it's fixing to come to a head, and that's Japan. You better watch Japan.
Yeah.
Because do you know what the yield is on a Japanese bond right now? It's like 10 cents. I mean, it's less
Holy
than, or not 10 cents, it's less than a percent. It's like 0.78% on a 10-year treasury bond in Japan. And the Bank of Japan is buying, just like the Federal Reserve, buying all of their bonds because no one else will buy them.
And oh, my God.
Their society is aging rapidly.
Yep.
So they don't have enough workers to replace them. Okay, they are on the verge. I'm telling you, if they make it 6 months, I'll be stunned.
Oh my God!
And when the chips are down, you know who the second largest holder of U.S. debt is? Japan.
Mm. You know what's really sad, Ron? And I know that they're like a quasi-socialist nation because I lived there on different times when I was performing. Those people are so amazing as people. It's sad because they are loyal to their families. They're just, they're just wonderful people. I got to hang out with them like 3 or 4 times when I was there, 4 months the first time and 6 months the other time.
It's changing,
it's great culture, and they're hardworking. They're amazing copycats. You teach them how to cook French food, and you'd swear they were born in France. I mean, they're just amazing people. They're just, I couldn't say enough good about
them. But their culture is changing because they're feeling the pressure as well. And I read an article a couple of days ago about the home run king in Japan. And it's a big deal, and there's a lot of honor and stuff involved. The Japanese are very tradition and honor bound. And there was a foreign player playing in the Japanese league, and he was approaching, threatening this all-time home run record that was set by a Japanese player. And so collectively, every team, they would pitch around the guy because nobody wanted him to get anywhere close to breaking that guy's record. Well, you know what they've started doing? They started pitching to him. They said, you know what? The hell with it. And they started pitching to the guy, and he broke the record. And they're very happy. But so it's a little microcosm, a little window into the thought process, and the culture is shifting. And they're realizing that this honor-bound you know, the government
right.
is not honoring them.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so they're
no.
drifting from that.
Right. I get that. I mean, yeah, they were very, very rigid in their, what do you call it? I mean, the government had them, you know, they had days on the calendar marked when they could start wearing bathing suits and going to the beach. I mean, that's
yep.
how rigid it is over there. We didn't apply, you know, do with that. We didn't comply because they knew we were henna guy jeans. They didn't care if they thought we were completely crazy. So they let us get away with a whole lot of stuff. But, yeah, anyway, I know. I think people around the world are waking up right now because people are sick of it and they're getting the flu. They're feeling it. You know, they're actually, it's actually affecting them.
Well, people are actually reading information and discerning the facts
right.
for themselves and they're
right.
figuring it out rather than just going along with what they've been told the facts are. And that's the difference.
And you know, I'm surprised that Fox News ratings haven't gone down because of all this. People are not believing one. Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, I tune in here and there, but not like I used to because I cannot believe the cluelessness of every single one of them. And plus the fact, I cannot believe a word of it. These people are told what to say. We had this comp on Saturday on Hot Seat Show. I don't believe a word. And look, it's been decades and decades we have been lied to so hugely. We know that. You know it.
Well, you talk about the world waking up and what we're fighting. What we're fighting, it's not just an agenda for our country. It's a global agenda we're fighting. And so that's why
yeah, the New World Order.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing so many different countries wake up, because we're seeing spreading it back and forth through all of them. Remember our friend Oz?
Oh, yeah.
Oz was spreading this stuff all over Europe.
The thing that worries me about this whole, you know, waking up thing, Bill, is that you're right. All these other countries and people in these other countries, they're waking up. And what they're realizing is that a lot of their animosity and hatred towards the American government is being justified.
Right, and that's sad. It's sad for us.
Oh, man.
You know,
the American people stand up against the corrupt government. And
hopefully exactly.
They'll get the same ideas and do the same thing. I've been waiting.
Well, you know, the Egyptians have got to be wondering, what are you people doing? What are you, a bunch of cowards? How do you stand up to your damn government? Robert, you going to be okay? You hyperventilating there?
Oh, no. I was putting something in the refrigerator.
Okay. Well, that explains it. He had to climb the stepladder to get in there then.
You're lucky you're in Georgia.
It must have been above the CRISPR drawer.
I want to come up to Georgia. And you're gonna owe me a micro beer for that statement, buddy.
Hey, anytime, brother. Anytime.
Micro beer summit.
A
right,
micro
Robert?
Beer.
Summit.
Every time.
Robert,
yes, sir.
Robert swimming in the bird bath.
My bird bath, let me tell you something, Bill Strong. I didn't swim all summer long.
He'd have to pole vault to get in that bird bath.
But let me tell you, I didn't know if I told you guys. You know, did I tell you about my plumbing that I had to get my plumbing fixed?
Yeah.
Hey, Linda.
In the house, not your personal
place.
Let me tell you something. Do you know why I was having all those headaches? You know why I was smelling methane gas for the past year and a half in my home.
Oh, wow.
Methane gas.
One for the liberal.
From the city of Venice, thanks to the city of Venice sewage, I was smelling methane gas for a year and a half, 2 years in my home.
You poor thing. Oh my God.
I almost died, Linda. I was I,
I know.
I was I was on my way out. I really was. I was ready to go to heaven or hell, either one. But let me tell you, I was on my way out.
You poor thing. Well, did you wind up? Did you sue anybody?
I'm thinking about suing the city of Venice and Venice Hospital for giving me a wrong diagnosis, telling me I might have a seizure disorder.
Oh, geez.
Just make sure you get a Jewish lawyer.
Well, you know what, Ron? That methane gas causes seizure disorders. You know that? That's so fucking believable.
Yeah, I've seen that happen to my wife several times.
I swear to God.
Especially after a couple of micro beers and a hard-boiled egg.
Well, that's what it smelled like. My house smelled like a rotten egg since I moved in here. I never could get this rotten egg smell out of my house. I could understand why my house always smelled like a rotten egg. And if you smell a rotten egg in your house, Linda, that means you have sewage problems. I'm serious.
When you bought it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, I have tears in my eyes and body sore.
I almost died.
I think we tickled Linda's funny bone.
I almost died in my house, man.
When he started with the plumbing problems, I did it because I've had a few of my own, but it wasn't the kind that was under the house. Oh, Lord.
So right now, what I'm doing now is I'm preparing for my boards. I'm studying for my boards right now.
For your
my
what?
God. For my boards for public health. I have to take an exam.
Okay.
I have to take a 120 question exam in biostatistics and epidemiology, and I'll be it.
It sounds to me like Robert is positioning himself to profit from Obamacare.
I think I'm in a very good position to profit from Obamacare. I think my doctors were killing me. I really do. I really think I got rid of all my doctors here in Venice. I got rid of every damn one of them. My own family, my neurologist and my family practitioner called me a fake, that I was faking my illnesses.
Oh, God.
You know, and if it wasn't for my Liani, you know, she took pictures of my spells, Ron. I mean, my face would be turning beet red. I mean, as red as a beet, my face would just, and my veins.
Hell, mine does that every time I see Pelosi.
But my veins were popping out of my skin. My veins were coming out of my skin. I mean, my God, I mean, I was a sick bastard for a while. I mean, I really was. I was on my way out, Linda. I thought I was gonna die.
Ron, give me a break for a minute. I know. I feel bad. Look, everybody's into herbal medicines, and also, if you can try to find a way to, or I'll get some to you. I have your email. I'll try to get the list that was put on Facebook of the foods to avoid, or the brand names, because they're all GMO pieces of garbage and stuff, and they're not good for you. So I'll get that to you, okay?
Well, let me tell you, Miss Linda, I'm going to cuss you out right now because I have a right to cuss you out. I wish you would taper off the Xanax. That's a shitty drug.
No, I don't. I just very, very rarely use it.
Please don't take it every day because it will fuck.
Oh,
will
I don't.
Mess you up.
I don't. I absolutely don't. Yeah. Oh, no. Like
and
maybe once a week.
And do not drink while you're taking it either.
Only wine.
I'm not.
No.
I'm not doing that.
I'm telling you, that's a terrible drug. Linda, I don't take any more steroids.
Okay.
I am drug free. The only thing I take is my Synthroid. That's it. That's for my thyroid. But that's the only thing
okay.
I take.
I take no pharmaceutical drugs.
You know, Bill?
No. Nope. I don't even take aspirin.
Scott, you're in good shape. You're going to live to be 100.
I hope the hell not.
I think you will be. How old are you now, Bill?
Late 50s.
Late 50s,
late.
You won't tell the age. I'll be turning 58 in a couple of weeks.
Dang.
I have no allergies.
I do.
I rarely get sick. If other people get a cold that lasts them a week and a half, it'll last me a day.
I'm allergic to politicians.
I knew that was
and methane, yeah.
On the street for the cars, I'm afraid of them.
I don't know.
Politicianitis.
They're allergic to me.
Well, I'm allergic to stealing from me. That's, you know, just.
Here locally, I've made such a noise by doing things that nobody ever did that anytime one of our local politicians sees me coming, you can see on their face, it's like, oh, God, and they're trying to find a way to get away from me.
You know, I actually had a guy come in my store today who was running for city council, and I don't live in the town up there where I'm working at. And so him and I got talking, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, he said he'd sat in on plenty of the city council meetings, and I asked him if they'd discussed any of the sustainable development or private-public partnerships. And he said, well, yeah, I've heard that. That sounds familiar. I said, so you know about Agenda 21? And he said, no, what is that? Oh, well, have a seat here. Let me show you a little something.
good.
So, oh, my God.
He's going to be looking. I gave him one of my cards, and but we had a good little chat.
Good. Excellent.
That's a bit. He didn't know what Agenda 21 was, huh?
No, and he's running for city council. And God bless him, because he knows that most of the councilmen are full of crap, and they're just up there to, you know, line their pockets. Sure.
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
If people were to look around, they'd see it going in all over the country, here, there, little implementations by this group or that group. Sliding something through, the IRS sliding something through, or Homeland Security sliding something through.
Well, that's what kind of brought it up. You know, he'd mentioned that I live in Woodstock or near Woodstock, and he said, boy, they've really turned that town around in the last few years. And I said, well, it's because of the public-private partnerships, and they're a charter city for Agenda 21. And he said, what the heck is that? And he said, you mean they get federal funding? I said, oh, no. They bypass Congress. They go straight to the city council, and they get outside funding from different agencies that are pulling money from the UN.
Yep.
And he says, when did this start? And I said, well, in 1992 at the Rio Summit. And he said, I said, you haven't heard of the Rio Summit for Biodiversity in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, that back in 1992? He said, no. I said, well, that's when all your global warming bullshit started.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Really? I said, that's you need to look into it.
Oh, you know what? If you ever get a chance to talk to him again, I've been blogging this all over this whole week, because there's been a lot of this stuff going on, and wait till you hear the email tomorrow on my show that I sent to Boxer. Oh, you're going to love that one. Anyway,
she can read.
Oh my God!
Anyway, she's one of those elitist rich biatches, you know. And anyway, so what I blogged was to somebody, I can't remember whether it was a politician or somebody who was a CEO of something or the newspaper, whatever. I said if you want more proof that this exists, you just Google YouTube 1992, Nancy Pelosi, Agenda 21, and you'll see that I'm not lying to you. You'll see the little mug face talking about it. Oh, yeah, that's what I tell them now. Absolutely.
Wow.
Because
that's proof. 21 for Duff's video to start them out.
Yeah, but you know what? Just seeing her face on the House floor pushing for it for like a half an hour should be proof enough to just about anybody that it does exist.
It was Pelosi who pushed it on the House floor. It got put it down. Then Bill Clinton went around the House in 93 and he signed it, or in 92, I think. He signed at the UN under sustainable development, biodiversity is
sure.
wrong.
Yep.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is,
it was rejected by our elected, and they went around them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the deal is that, you know, when you go back and read this stuff, what you're going to find also is that NAFTA and GATT and all these free trade agreements are all part of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
how about that? What's the new one, TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnerships? Oh, that's a real dizzy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
my God.
I wonder if Condi Rice is still the head of SPP.
More expanded and more brought out in the open, and that needs to go viral all over. Because that's just, that right there is just, you know, every time you try telling someone about Agenda 21, I get a lot of, oh, they can't do that, and they can't do this and that.
I hear that a lot.
I asked my state representative about the Jackson County's comprehensive plan, which is the first step in Agenda 21. I asked him why he signed on to it. And he feigns that he doesn't know nothing about Agenda 21, and I put him on to several other things. But it also, because we were doing it openly and on a website, it led other people to start looking into that plan and to looking into Agenda 21.
Well, like, that's just it. They don't necessarily, most of them don't know, because they're doing an end around. It doesn't go through Congress, and it's not going through their state legislature. In most instances, they're doing an end around and going directly to the city managers and the county boards.
Yes, they are.
Okay,
and
they're offering
going to the planners.
They're dangling the carrots out there. They're offering funding to put these damn things into being done. You know,
you got it.
I look at our little city of Woodstock down here. All right, they have a summer concert series. They've got a nice little park with a little gazebo in the middle of the park. They have concerts. Just last Saturday, they had Marshall Tucker Band. No charge. Just come on down. Free concerts.
Unbelievable.
Where do you think that money's coming from?
Yep.
And they've built up the whole old downtown area, and it's an old area. There's an old train depot along the railroad tracks that dates back to prior to the Civil War. Well, now they've built up all these apartment buildings or condos to look like old mills and stuff like that. And of course, they're damn near all of them are empty. Nobody, you know, they could have picked
exactly.
a worse time because they did it right when the housing bubble snapped.
Sure, absolutely.
And they've got all these little restaurants and stuff all crowded into the parking lot around these condos. It's ridiculous.
It's just like the city of it is.
And they put in a damn roundabout right in the middle of the freaking Main Street Road as you're headed out of town. There's a damn roundabout. And, you know, the people that have been living there for 50 years get confused as crap. They're sitting there going in a damn circle. I mean, you're just tooling down the road, and there's a roundabout. And it's like, what the hell is this all about?
Oh, Agenda 21. I know. And you know what else? In fact, I think it was on the UT. There was two articles on the Union Tribune today that I had to comment. And they will not like what I said, but that's too bad. And one of them was, it touched on Agenda 21, and it touched on a few other things. And I don't know if Ron's still listening, but because he had a phone call. But that thing he gave me, which was talking about the bankruptcy of 1930, and there were several links. There was at least three links, or three or four, that were on that page. And I copied them and put them into my article and my blog, and I just left it be, and I said, wake up, people, and I just let it ride, because those links will scare the bejesus out of anyone who's paying attention or has a modicum of vocabulary in their arsenal. I mean, I'm going to read some of it tomorrow on my show. You guys have got. I'm going to go from.
I'll try to come in tomorrow, and I've been really busy.
I got a ton of stuff for you guys. Believe me. Especially after this week.
Whatever happened to that guy that was on the radio show 2 weeks ago?
We finally got rid of him. I don't know how we did it, but we got rid of him.
You got rid of
I got rid of him in the private chat.
Oh, really?
Okay. Good job.
Yeah,
good
see,
job.
See, the whole time he kept sending me private messages. And, you know, I had had enough of him. He exposed himself for what he was. And I told him pretty much to go pound sand.
Well, because I remember I did an email back and forth with Mikey B about a week ago, and he said, oh, he says, I had that guy's number 10 seconds into listening to him. He says, I knew who and what he was. He was a troll, and he said, I wasn't going to give him the time of day.
Well,
so.
I did too, in all fairness, but
yeah.
I like to allow them to expose themselves, no pun intended.
Oh, he did. Oh.
You know, it's like the old saying, you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves, and he did.
Oh, and
yeah.
He did so well on your show, and I just, remember, I didn't say a word, and then I hung up because I thought, okay, let him just keep talking. Just let him keep talking. I mean,
yeah.
That was...
There's no sense, and that's, see, to me, there's no sense in letting someone like that get you pissed off or worked up.
Yeah, he was disagreeing with me with left and right.
Okay, well,
see, that's the thing. He prodded me on a couple of things, and I just let it slide right by. So he left me alone and went after, you know, Linda and Mike, and he got the reaction that he was looking for, and then he just wouldn't let it go. And I'm shaking my head. And the thing is, you know, he's saying that, oh, I'm not upset, and I'm like, really? the demeanor and the tone of your voice betray what you're saying here, buddy, because you're acting like a 10-year-old, you know, you're having a tantrum.
Yeah, he was,
you know,
he...
I thought he was
go ahead, Bill.
He never called in when I was on the air. I'm kind of
offended.
No, I'm not offended. He probably kept me from saying things on the radio that would have got me in bigger trouble.
Well, you know, I don't mind when people like that call in.
People who put on a fake name and then want to start an argument and stuff like this and that. It's like,
well
it must be a computer because you're hiding.
It was a false argument. That was the thing.
His argument was a false argument. I think Bill was trying to defend my honor, and he was probably treating me like a little sister and saying, you know.
I understand that completely. But at the same time, you know, there are those people that come across that way that truly are open to debate, and you can change their mindset. Yeah, absolutely. I've done it. And so,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's. I never try to dismiss anyone. And honestly, you know, when Robert first came on the show, I was certain that he was a Mr. Beasley.
But he's not.
I don't mean that to demean you in any way, Robert. But I honestly, I had serious reservations. Just because of some of the mannerisms and some of the things you were saying. And I was like, you know, this guy is trying to bait somebody, but you weren't. And you were legit.
No.
And, you know, it is what it is.
I call like I see it. And I love y'all too, but I call like I see it. You know, I wish I could debate Vern. I wish I could debate my congressman. I know I would win. I know I would win. I would beat him. I would beat him down to a pulp.
I wish you could have the opportunity
Robert,
to do that.
The thing is, Robert, many of us would out debate our congressmen and those people because most of them have no clue of what's really going on out here in the real life.
No, you're right, Bill.
If you're someone who does and goes up there and talks about what's going on in the real life and mentioning things this guy has no clue about because he's been too busy kissing babies and around and not paying attention to what he's learning. He doesn't know anything except how to smile and play the puppet.
I've been telling you this, guy, since I've been on the program, and I'm going to tell it again. I have to keep a budget. I have to make a budget in my own home. If I could keep a budget in my own home and not live beyond my means, then why can't you guys do it? I want to keep on preaching that until they get it.
Well, you know, Robert, you don't have a printing press.
You have to look at it. Robert, I look at it kind of, I don't know how, but to me it's like, okay, I borrowed money and I can't afford to pay the interest. so I'm going to borrow more money. Who in their right mind loans people money in that situation?
No, but
people
well,
who can print it.
Yeah,
they can
well,
print it.
The Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve.
Well, it's kind of like we're going to defeat terrorism by arming the terrorists. It's the same ideology.
Yeah.
As you, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Stop me, Ron. That's not money. That's just debt.
Well, I know,
yeah.
But hey, everybody believes it's money, right?
Yeah, the grassroots.
But Ron, I never considered myself as a liberal. I never considered myself
no,
as a Democrat.
I know that you didn't, Robert. It was just the way that you spoke and many of the things that you said. But in fairness, I never came out and said, you know, I didn't tell you were full of crap. I didn't try to beat you up. I let you go and have your say. And you know what? You never turned that corner like Beasley did. And that's what I was doing with Beasley. I let him turn that corner all the time.
You know what pissed me off about Beasley is when he was talking about Social Security and how he was, you know, like it was a handout. And then I said to myself, well, don't you,
well,
he kept on asking, but he kept on nudging you, saying, some people deserve Social Security?
No, I don't. And you know, that was my answer to him. And the thing is, that's one of the problems we have in this country, just like you're seeing with Obamacare right now. They passed something that is dead wrong. It was wrong when they drafted it. It was wrong when they passed it. It's wrong now. It'll be wrong in 10 years. We never correct our mistakes. We never stand up and say, you know what, this was a bad idea, guys. Not only that, it was unconstitutional.
Yeah, I know. He was flabbergasted when I said, okay, Mr. Beasley. He was flabbergasted when I told him, okay, if people on welfare make $38,000 a year and I only make $50,000 a year and I work my ass off, I'm really only making $7,600 a year. That's what the government thinks of my work. He didn't like that.
When you look at the charts, a single mother making $29,000 a year and taking advantage of all the government benefits that she can collect, right?
Right.
Her net at the end of the year is $57,000 and change.
Exactly.
Same single mother and move her up to making $65,000 a year, and after it's all said and done, her net is less than it would be if she was making $29,000 and taking those government benefits.
Exactly.
Where is the incentive for people to be productive members of a society?
Right.
It's not there. It disincentivizes people. It removes the incentive for the reward of hard work.
Yes.
Okay. And we confuse. You know, I've said it a million times. We don't understand money. And
no.
we believe falsely that currency is money, and it's not.
And it's not. It's not.
It absolutely is not. There's a difference.
Ron, I think the only one that we actually did a correction was when they repealed prohibition. I think maybe that's the only one in history that's come up with.
And that's just because it was so over the top that they were forced to. But here's
the thing
I'll tell you about prohibition. How did they get it into law?
Who the hell knows?
I wasn't alive
then.
No, they passed a constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll ask you, where's the constitutional amendment for marijuana? Or heroin?
Well, don't see one.
Or cocaine?
Don't see it. Oh,
well,
no.
Now, don't you think if they knew damn good and well that they had to get a constitutional amendment to ban alcohol, which is, by the way, a manufactured substance.
Right.
Why would not those same rules apply to other manufactured substances and to naturally occurring substances?
Yeah. Oh, it's disgusting. I know. Oh, you don't have to preach it.
When you really
amazing.
Look at the whole thing there, Ron, it boggles your mind. Here it is, something illegal, yet Big Pharma desperately wants a to have the patent on something that grows natural.
Well, sure, that's the problem they have. They can't patent a damn tomato plant. Although, give Monsanto enough time, and if they thought there was enough money in it, they would.
Oh,
yeah.
It's sick. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But
oh,
I don't know
yeah.
why no one. I don't know why no one ever raises that question about the constitutional amendment for this prohibition. Clearly, Congress understood fully that to implement this, they had to have a constitutional amendment. Why is it they don't feel they need one now?
Because
what
I
changed
don't know
in the
either.
Law, ladies and gentlemen? What has changed in the lay of the land that, oh, well, we don't need to bother with that. That's just the Constitution. Yeah, that's what's changed. You don't have a damned
yep.
Constitution. You
no,
haven't
we don't.
Had one since about 2 weeks
longer.
After they signed the friggin' thing.
That's the sad part. Okay, wait a minute. When before the Civil War, wasn't there at least a semblance of adhering to it?
And only because there was an adamant fight between the opposing sides, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists,
right.
that remained. But after they died off, it was Katie bar the doors. But,
yeah,
I mean, you look at Hamilton's first act as Treasury Secretary.
Yep.
Let's pass the Bank Act. Let's create a federal national bank. Are you kidding me? That flew in
Damn.
The face of everything they had just done.
And then turn around,
and what happens? You got the Whiskey Rebellion, right? So
yep.
they pass an act to tax whiskey, and then they turn around and come up with this damn carriage tax.
Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, Washington is renaming the states as federal districts. So that
yeah,
game doesn't match in my mind.
I know. It's ridiculous. So this is...
What year was that? Was that 1920, Ron?
No,
that
was 1700.
1791
yep.
is when Washington reclaimed
yes, he
under
did.
The powers from the act to tax whiskey and other purposes, and the title of the act is about a page long in and of itself. He stood before the Senate and declared that he was making federal districts out of what formerly were known as the states. And he
sovereign
gave
states.
Examples. He gave examples so as not to confuse anything. He said, for instance, New York is now the District of New York, making it a federal enclave or federal district. And you can't argue that he was setting up judicial districts because that had already been done the year prior. Or
wow.
actually in 1789 is when they set up the judicial districts, the federal district judiciaries. So this was something totally separate. What he did was create federal districts out of the sovereign states. And why would he do that? Because Congress was given exclusive jurisdiction to the 10-mile square that would be the seat
yep.
of government and to all insular territories and possessions, or in other words, federal districts.
Yep. That's
wow.
why he did it.
So
okay, guys, I'm
going to
go back in
the
chat room. You guys have done a great job. Thanks for taking my call. It's been a blessing.
Bye,
guys. God bless.
God bless.
We've been facing a step generation by generation, tearing down of our Constitution, tearing down of this country in so many different ways. And that's why I'm always saying that when I look at it, and I look at it over whole, I have to blame both political parties, because they have each had a hand in getting us to the point we're at, and they would continue that if we don't stand up and stop them somehow. But the establishment Republicans and the Democrats, it's the same crap, just two different piles.
Well, you're exactly right, and to continue that analogy, and the analogy that Robert gave us earlier, the American people have been sucking on the vent pipe of Washington, D.C.'s septic tank for so long, we're all going into seizures from methane exposure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The government's making
a
crack.
Oh, my God.
The bread.
Yep.
Well, it's true. It's true. But what really bothers me, Ron, is when they were talking about Obamacare on Fox News, and how the Republicans are fighting against it, and then Obama wants to fight. They can fight all they want, and he's going to fight them back no matter what. And then what you have to worry about, if Brett Shibas is agreeing with the president now when he wasn't before, that's when you have to start to worry. I mean, that really blew my mind when I heard Brett Shibas agreeing with the president. I mean,
Lord. You know, here we sit, okay, crying about Saddam Hussein gassing the Kurds and Assad gassing the Syrians. Who's going to get a UN resolution against Congress and D.C. gassing the American people? Because they're damn sure putting out poisonous gas.
Yeah, they are.
They're killing us. They're absolutely killing us.
They almost killed me.
You know something else? Did you watch any of the coverage of that whole thing that happened at the Naval Yard?
Yeah, I watched it all day long. It gave me a headache.
Do you know what you didn't? Do you know what you didn't see? You know what you didn't see during that whole thing? You didn't see not one of those 2,700 MRAPs, right? Because after all, I mean, they weren't serving a warrant. They were going in to capture somebody that was killing people with a shotgun.
Right.
So, you know, the MRAPs, those big up-armored vehicles that they've purchased, well, those are for serving warrants, and they didn't have one of those, so...
Speaking of that, Ron, a little town here in Indiana, Madison, Indiana, just acquired one of those.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
They're looking out for you, buddy.
If you hear how small a town Madison was and such, you'd be wondering why in the hell do they need something like that?
To make sure that the folks around there understand who the boss is.
Come get you.
I agree with Chad. Come get you some.
Yeah.
How the hell you got in? How the hell did that bastard get in, Ron? I mean, Bill, how did he get in?
That's what I'm trying to say, Robert. It isn't just the one guy. It's been
all of them.
Yeah, it's been all of them. You look at the Agenda 21 thing. It's been years and years and years. Been called this, been called that. George Bush brought it out. Clinton signed on to it. George W. Bush started implementing parts of it. Then Obama was supposed to put the final nails in it.
I can assure you, when I was in the Army, that idiot from Fort Hood, Hassan, they would have had his ass gone in a hurry before he ever got to the point that he started shooting folks. So, I mean, it's just they don't give a shit about you. They don't give a crap about me. All they give a shit about is their agenda. If you're going to make an omelet, you got to break a couple of eggs, right?
Right.
Right.
And that's why these people, when I hear these people say, the government would never be involved in 9/11. Really? You think 3,000 people or 3,500 people make a shit to them? They don't care. Please.
No, they don't. People got to wake up and realize. You look at the depopulation agenda, the people that are behind it, and you realize to get the population what they call the ideal population, they got to kill 6 billion people.
Yeah, you got to kill 2/3 of the population of Earth.
That's why they want to go to war. That's the bottom line. They want to go to war to kill us all off.
That's why they will create disease. They will give you a vaccination that will end up killing you.
They won't give me one.
No, either. I got a thing about needles.
No.
I tell you, Ron. We're on the edge of a precipice. Not only economically, morally, but we're on the edge of a precipice of a war here in this country.
Oh, yeah. You're looking at civil war. I don't have any doubt of it.
I don't see no way out of it at the moment, Ron.
I don't think there is.
It's on.
Amen.
I can't wait till my, I can't wait till October 1st, Bill Strong. That's when it's all going to happen. When I talk, mark my words, when October 1st comes around, I hope I make it to my birthday. God willing. We're gonna see a revolution in this country over Obamacare when the individual citizens are gonna have to purchase it and the big business you're gonna see the revolt. You're gonna see the union members. They're gonna go wild. There's gonna be a lot of killing because of this, and that's my prediction.
There's so much in that health care bill that nobody even realizes. You're not gonna hear it out of the media. You gotta look at the thing and actually read it.
I was screaming
about the provision where they can come in and inspect your home, and nobody said nothing. And now, look all over, you're seeing it all over where they're talking about it. Now, if they've just now got to reading that part of it, oh, my God. Because it's just the beginning. Under the guise of health care, they can take control over so much of our lives.
And then you had to hear Summers saying, Summers from Cleveland was implementing the target Tea Party. She was targeting
Tea
Party.
Lerner, excuse me.
She
knew that, and that's why she was trying to plead the fifth. Look, they need to start putting these bastards in front of Congress and trying them, stripping them of their pension, stripping them of their bank accounts,
amen,
and putting their asses in jail.
It's something's got to give, man. Something's got to give.
If we did a criminal act, they would lock us up.
We've got two sets of laws.
They deserve no more respect than the people get. If they do a criminal act, they should be locked up.
That's right.
Right. There should not be this. There should not be this one law for me and another for thee.
Look, Ron, you and I talked about this the most. You know, I would support Obama 100% for health care reform. 100%. I'll back him up 100%, and I tell you why. If he would only do two things. To delay it for a year and call it the day and make it a single payer plan like we predicted, and also to abolish the IRS and have a some type of simple tax code to make it easier for people to read and make it easier for people to manage their finances. In order to afford this crap, you know, I mean, that's all he's got to do. I wish he would just move to the center.
I can't go for that, Robert. And I just told you why. There are provisions in there that allows them to be like Nazi control over us.
But that's the whole point. That's what they need to go over and delay it. They need to delay it and quit doing that.
What needs to happen is they need to repeal that damn thing, throw it in the trash, and then they need to start going backwards and start getting people, the middleman, out of health care. Get the guy out from between me and my doctor.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
There's too many middlemen out there all over, Ron. I agree. If you go to get a job, you got to go through a middleman temp agency. Who may keep you on there where they're getting
their payroll for a year before they give you the job, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. Kent, there's just so much bull.
Around here, people that are working fast food are telling me that they're getting cut back in their hours to 30 hours.
That's right, because
of it. Or less. And that's going to hurt a lot of them. Sounds like, well, they're going to have to get 2 or 3 jobs and things. You're having the whole thing with illegals where, hey, we're paying tuition for illegals to go to college, but they don't want to pay tuition for vets to go to college. We have things as backwards in this nation.
Well, I think people are finally beginning to recognize that government, the governmental system that we all thought we believed in, really hasn't existed, and it's not what we have currently. And I agree with Peg Leg Petey there that said violence is wrong, and I really wish the government would stop using violence against the American people.
And we're seeing it.
Yeah.
We're seeing intimidation. We're seeing the same kind of tactics that got the mob named the mob out of our government.
Well, government is force. I mean, there's no other way to put it, and it's violent force.
Chicago-style politics. That's what it boils down to.
That's why the founders wanted to constrain government to the smallest possible entity. Because this is what was feared would occur. As far back as, you know, John Taylor of Caroline and, you know, some others, Patrick Henry, refused to vote on ratifying the Constitution, as did George Mason. They weren't stupid. They saw the writing on the walls.
But you know what, Ron? My first president was Eisenhower. I was very too young to know Eisenhower, because I was born in 55. So I didn't know him too well. But my very first president was President Kennedy, which I somewhat knew before he got killed. But I liked him. Okay? Then came along Lyndon Johnson, which I didn't care for too much. Then came Richard Nixon. Then came Gerald Ford. Then came the Peter Farmer, Jimmy Carter.
You mean Chevy
then
Chase,
came,
Gerald Ford? Oh.
Yeah, but Peter, am I on a roll here? Then came Bill Clinton. I mean, yeah, Richard Nixon. Then came.
I think Nixon was before Ford and Carter, wasn't it?
Gerald Ford. Then came George
Peanut Jimmy.
Jimmy. Then came Bush. Then came who else? Bush. Then came the father Bush. Then came Clinton. And then came Bush Jr. And now Obama. But out of all of them, I was never frightened. But today, I'm frightened. Period. This guy scares me. And I've never said that to about a president in my lifetime, that a president of my country, of the United States of America, scares me. And those are very powerful words in my view. And when somebody scares me, politically, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do. I'm lost for words. I'm just lost for words now. This guy scares me. That's the first time I've ever said that, Ron.
Well, it's
that's
beyond
the best
just
sign.
President. Beyond president. Our elected officials sitting in D.C. scare me. They scare me because I see them ignoring the will of the American people. I see them trying to put an agenda over us, give them more control, and take more of our money away from us, those that are earning it. I see them trying to create a society dependent upon them and treating and where they act as if they are gods. So that's what scares me. And that's part of why I stand up and do the things I do. And I'm willing to go the distance.
I am too. I'm ready to die for my country if I have to.
I've had a great life at this time.
I'm willing to die for my country.
All my family has served this country. And it's just to see it go down like this. Well, there are a lot of people out there that can't defend themselves, the children. And some of the weak and the maimed, they can't defend themselves. That's where it's up to the rest, some of us others, to stand up and defend them too. So there's reason. If no other reason, for the children, we should be standing up and fighting this corruption going on throughout our system and our government. That's just how
you're
I
right.
feel.
You're right, Bill Strong. But I've had to get that off my chest. I've been thinking about that all week.
Well, you're right, Robert. We are under attack, and we're under attack by our government.
And the sad thing about it is we put them in office.
Yep.
We put people
yeah.
in office to do what? No, we put them in office to do what? To take care of us in certain matters, legal matters, certain degrees. We take care of ourselves.
And they have vastly overstepped that bound.
Yeah, but both
now, they control every part of our lives. They want to control our energy. They want to control our food. They want to control our health care. They want to control our being allowed our first constitutional amendments. They want to make slaves out of us. And maybe slavery is bad. You got to think.
That's the whole point. I know, Bill, but
when they were slaves, they had houses, they had jobs, and they had food. But you didn't have freedom. And that's the same thing we're going back to, going in reverse. Only this time, it's going to be all of us.
All of us.
Yep. But we put them in office for them to
protect. The crowd that's pushing all of this.
Yeah, but we put them in office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And they're not even doing that.
And all they did was get in there and self-serve.
Did we put them in office, or was that voter ID?
Yeah, this was a fraud that brought
office. God.
Exactly. Who did it? Here in the state of Indiana, we put three Democrats in prison for registering false registration on voters that... was the only way Obama and Hillary made the ballot in the state of Indiana.
Be honest, be honest, that's the only way he won.
That's the only way any of them win.
It's unbelievable. This whole thing really just stinks. It stinks. The whole thing stinks. That's all I got to say. And have you ever heard me say that, Bill Strong? Well, you never heard me say that on the radio show. It's not I'm saying it. It just stinks. I smell a rotten egg.
Well, we keep doing this. That's why, it's been for me since 2006. I've been doing this. I do my research. I blog. I put out the word everywhere I go. I go out into public. I stand up and I speak out. And if I gain one person, that's a victory. It's a slow process, but many people don't want to be woke up, and there are a whole group of people out there trying to keep them asleep.
Wow.
Look at the media. The media is playing a the American people.
Yes.
The media has become the National Enquirer. You know what I'm saying?
When I was a kid,
you didn't read the National Enquirer because you knew it was full of crap. Now we've got CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN. These people couldn't tell the truth anymore.
No, they don't.
They have become the modern day paper crap.
That's why everybody don't understand what's going on, because they don't hear the truth.
And if you do tell something, some people will be standing there looking in the face and saying, no, they can't do that. And they think that that's in their head. They really truly believe, well, they can't do that. Well, at the same time, if they was actually to look, they'd see that
they're doing it.
Oh, my God. folks, it's been a great 2 hours, our first time out.
Yes, it is.
And really, really appreciate Ron and Linda and everybody calling in. And I'd like to thank everybody. And today was my little sister's birthday. I wished her a happy birthday this morning. And glad to have Lonnie and Chad here with me. James couldn't make it, but still, had a good time. And I hope we can continue this, and we're just going to get a little better. We're learning. Give us a little time. We got some things. We're working on it. We'll get it. We'll get the things worked out. And, you just kind of stick together. I got to say something. I never imagined when I came to Patriot Families with Hollis and Joe and Martha and some others in beginning when we all came to the Patriot Family, I never imagined that I was going to be tied into such great people. And I wish God would bless you all, that you have all been a blessing to me. Linda, I ain't even going to talk to the guy.
Linda, I've been sitting here reading this whole thing. Wow, that's all I can say. You have to defend yourself every time you're on there. It's so sad. It's just ridiculous. I'd like to say thanks to Linda for helping us get this set up. You're a blessing, hon. Thanks to everybody that listened and actually participated. God bless y'all.
God bless, Bill.
Okay. You're last.
All I got to say is keep your eyes open and your ears open. Listen to what the government's trying to pull over you.
Be aware, be awake.
That's right.
Because you never know when the moment's going to hit that you got to do something.
Amen, amen.
And
God bless you all.
And if you haven't thought about it, make yourself a plan.
That's what you need to do.
Well, that's where Mr. Petey, I wish you knew me. I have done things, and I still do things. And you talk about other things. I'm an Army vet. I was a bike rider for several years. I seen what was happening. And I spoke up, and I still do. I don't hide behind those screens. That name is Peter. That's my name. I don't hide from anybody. I'm from Freetown, Indiana.
It looks to me like another Beasley.
Well,
I'm thinking.
He's just trying to bait somebody. And
but that's okay. God bless to you.
That's right. When it all hits Ron, he'll be one of those that's in shell shock while the rest of them that's prepared themselves is getting out.
Yep.
Well, I hope that it never comes to that, and we've had those conversations many times, but... Oh, well, that explains a lot.
God bless you,
God. Everyone have a great night.
God bless, guys.
God bless.
Holy moly.
I told you it's a kink.